It's my amazing wife, Brittany, right here. And
hello.
We're excited to be here. Before we tell you what we're going to talk about, I just want to tell you how this is about to go. One, we're going to have a little conversation together. We hope it encourages you. I'm probably going to talk a little more and get a little chatty. I have that tendency. Hey, don't nod right there. But you're going to remember a whole lot more what Brittany says. You know, she's amazing, and I married up, and I belong to the league of people that married up in life. Where are all the fellas that married up in here?
You should all be raising your hands if you're smart.
Yeah, seriously, if you didn't raise your hand, I mean, Grant's back there like waving. We'll just give him another shot, like
both
rewind
hands.
That. Who are all the guys that married up in here? Okay, we're helping you out. Who, guys or girls or people that are hoping to marry up? Raise your hand. Keep them up and then look around, all right? That's the single people in the house. All right? Hey, we're just trying to help, you know? Oval Hang's going to be fun afterwards. Like, hey, were you raising your hand? Because I was raising my hand, and maybe we should go out to eat later.
So
it's
awkward.
That easy, fellas, you know? And we'll perform the wedding for whoever meets that way, all right?
Oh, my gosh.
Babe, why don't you, before we jump into what we're going to talk about, tell everyone how amazing it is to be married to me.
It's pretty amazing, guys. It's really amazing.
Tell them a little bit about us.
So you know Brad, and I'm Brittany. We've actually been married for almost 6 years. Next weekend, we met
pros.
Here in Atlanta.
We are pros.
Yes, we're pros. He's from Texas, as he likes to remind all of us all the time. I'm from Kentucky, and we met the first week that you moved down here. So we've known each other for about 8.5 years.
Yeah, whoa, hold up. I met her and her boyfriend the very first week, whose name was also Brad, okay? True story. But she gave me the full frontal hug when we left, so I was like, she digs me.
Oh, my gosh. The full frontal hug, it always comes back to that, doesn't it? Always comes back to that. Yeah, so Brad is obviously a pastor. I do interior design at a firm in town. We have two precious kids, Caleb and Addie. I think we have some pictures of them, too. Caleb is 2.5, and Addie is 5 months. Yes, they're amazing. We're obviously very biased, but I think they're the best. We're obsessed with them. So together, we have a crazy life, but it's amazing. It's very full, and we love getting to lead this church.
Yeah,
it's an honor.
I love it. So grateful to be under the leadership of Louie and Shelley. So glad that they're even getting an extra week to breathe because they deserve it for all they pour out. We know them really, really well, but we have no idea how much they sacrifice for all of our lives to see what Jesus is doing. And really, really grateful to be here. Like I said, we hope God has something for you tonight. It's been incredible, even all day, just seeing how this word of God has landed on people's hearts. And what we want to talk about tonight, we think is something that we can all relate to, no matter what stage of life that we're in. And that's about how to handle life's pressures, the pressure of life, and how important it is for all of us to find rest and refueling in the midst of this chaotic and nonstop world that we live in. And life is heavy. Can I get an amen on that? It can be heavy. It can be stressful. It can be full of pressure. You can, you know, feel pushed and pulled, you know, trying to juggle all the things in your life. You know, I talk to a lot of people as a pastor and really grateful for that opportunity to walk in life with people. But over and over again, it's stressed out, at my max, overwhelmed, burned out, not sure if I'm going to make it. In the range, you know, even in this room, the range is all over the place. It could be, how are we going to pay the bills? And is my, you know, job, am I going to make it till next week? Or for a bunch of younger people, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Am I going to be able to keep this 4.0? Nobody's wondering that, all right? Well, school starts tomorrow for Georgia Tech. You'll have a 4.0 for a day. So congratulations. Call home on that. It's expectations that you put on yourself, pressure and expectations from people you work with, trying to manage family. Am I good enough for me? Am I a good enough dad? Am I a good enough husband? Am I, you know, am I just doing what I'm supposed to be doing? It's just pressure, pressure, pressure. Some of you are in a pressure in a season like, am I ever going to get through the season? Am I always going to be in this zone of my life? And that can be pressure. And when it comes to us being overwhelmed or stressed out or malfunctioning or spinning out of control, is that really how Jesus wants us to live? No. So we need to look to him. We need to listen to what he has to say, because he showed up for people just like us that he knew we wouldn't be able to handle this pressure on our own. And so we're going to jump in. If you've got your scripture, let's go to Matthew chapter 11. I would love, even though this is a little bit of a panel interviews type thing, I love full participation from the crowd. So if we ask questions, then you got to give us answers, or feel free to applaud everything my wife says, and I like you more. But we're going to open to Matthew 11. We're going to read a verse, and we're just going to share a little bit of our observations. This is what we do every night at the dinner table anyway, so we're just welcoming
we're really
you into
holy,
that.
Guys.
Yeah, that was a joke. Not really. After we watch The Bachelorette, that is. So, Matthew.
Because Fred asks to watch The Bachelorette.
Stop it.
I'm still talking.
Yeah, you know? Okay, back to the Word of God. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And remember, this is Jesus, the perfect Son of God, stepping out of heaven, by whom and through whom all things were created. And he's saying to a bunch of people in this moment, there's his disciples right there listening. They'd given up their life to follow him and be a part of his ministry. There's big crowds of people much like this moment, because they knew and had heard something was special about this man, that people were getting healed, people are getting raised from the dead, people's lives are being changed, and he spoke with power and authority that people had never seen before. But then there was a bunch of religious rulers of the day that were trying to poke holes in his teaching because they felt threatened. Their power, their control, their reputation, and it was a different kind of message, and he shows up, and then this last part was, for my yoke is what he's saying. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So, babe, why don't you take the first stab at explaining what things stand out to you?
We're just going to do this Bible study-wise.
Y'all okay?
You guys?
Yeah. Is that all right?
Okay. So the first three words, I think, are the things that we want to pull out first. It says, come to me. And when I read that, I think Jesus was saying it more like, come to me. Like, I'm a person. We're not talking about a system or a set of rules or religious traditions. I'm a person, and I'm just waiting for you to come to me. And the word especially, come, not do. Like, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You can simply come to a person. And I know for me, that is something that we have had to condition ourselves to learn, not to immediately just to jump to do something to fix the burden or the pressure that we might be going through. And I think that's true of our culture right now. You hear the phrase, you do you, so much right now. And to think of when you're struggling or you're dealing with anxiety, that people are constantly wanting to help point you towards doing something that's going to make you happy. You go read a book about what you're doing, and they'll help you find a solution. Or you do what you need to do. You get some you time. And what Jesus is saying, no, just come to me. And I think that's a great reminder for just us today, that this isn't about us having to do anything. We simply get to come.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's really, really good. That would be a great time for you to clap for my wife right there.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Cole. Hey, tell everyone really quickly about your family member that's recently.
Yeah. So Brad and I, we both come from just broken family backgrounds, divorce, and so I wasn't raised in a family where Jesus was always at the forefront of conversation, and so I have family members who do not know Jesus. And since we've been married, we have had a lot of those family members on our heart. And there's one of them that she has just been on my heart for 4 or 5 years. And God would just give me specific encouragement just to say, I see her, and I need you to let her know that. And we have watched from the sidelines as she has gone down so many avenues looking for affirmation and value and rest, which we all, I think, do to some degree, and just the heartache and the emptiness that we have watched ensue because of those decisions has been really heartbreaking for us. But a couple of months ago, we got to intersect her life right at the time where she was just ready to say, I'm done doing, and I really do just want to come to this person, Jesus, that you guys are talking about. And so we were able to pray with her and lead her since then just in daily just scripture of helping God inform her steps. And it has been mind-blowing watching God just set her feet on a new step, on a new path, and, yeah. and her lens on life is different. Her perspective has completely changed, and she has this hope now that she just didn't have before. And so she is recognizing firsthand that Jesus is really a person, and she didn't have to do enough. She didn't have to get all of her stuff together and be ready to come to him. She could come just as she was.
Yeah, it's awesome. So awesome. You know, I think what's so encouraging about that story is for people in here, you might be like that family member. And you're like, I don't know if I can ever get everything, all my stuff together to get to be accepted by Jesus. And he's just saying, come as you are. But maybe what's even more encouraging for a lot of us in here is we all have those friends. Yeah. We all have those family members. We all have those people that we intersect with. Let's not give up hope. You know, Brittany, the other night, she opened up her journal and was reading entries from 2013 that she had for this person. And yes, it's been 4 years, and it might be for some of you 8 years, 10 years, 15 years, but let's be found in the camp that hasn't given up hope, that hasn't stopped praying, that hasn't stopped believing that Jesus could change people's lives in our world. Yeah. And let's be those people. And so the next part, come to me. And then it says, all you who are weary and burdened. Everybody say the word all with me.
All.
A little bit louder.
All.
That's great news. This invite from Jesus, he shows up on the earth and he has a message to announce, and it's for everyone. It's an open invitation. The gates of heaven are open and they are not closed. And that is great news, because if it was for an insider's club, if it were a secret party, if it was just for the religious do-gooders, if it was for a people born in a certain part of the country, certain part of the world, we wouldn't have gotten in the first place.
Yep.
So this is really good news for us. It's an open invite, mm-hmm. available to everybody, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've messed up, how many bad turns and bad exits you've taken in life. Jesus shows up and says, hey, this invite, it's for everyone.
Yep.
And it's for the heavy hearted, the burdened, the tired, the worn out, the exhausted. And this isn't just physical exhaustion. It's more about your soul. And how, like, are you tired of trying and attempting to be good enough to impress God, for him to like you? You know, there's some of you in here. I know there's a new friend of mine that I've gotten the chance to share with a couple times, and I'm praying for him, believing that maybe one day he would put a light bulb in the Jesus' life wall. You know, he's very successful, achieved a lot in his life, but in the midst of talking to him, I know he's searching for more. He's longing for more. There's a hole in his heart. He's like, man, the world's used to revolving around me, but it ain't working out. This, you know, I've been doing it my own way, but there's got to be something or someone more. And I'm believing this all will apply to him. And he might be the last person people would think needs to put their trust in Jesus, because he has a lot of resources, a lot of opportunity. But no, there's something in his soul that's not right. And the more he talks, the more I can sense, yeah, you need to hear the words of Jesus.
Yep.
You know, but the flip side of that is a lot of us, we roll through life like we've got it all together. Can I get an amen on that? Anybody like that? Like, no, we're good. Yeah, we're good. We're fine. Yeah, how are you doing? No, fine. Not going to be vulnerable. I'm not going to let down the facade. Like, I can take care of myself. I've got this under control. Yeah, might be a little stressed, but overall, I'm good. The stakes are too high to hide the needs of your soul.
Yep.
And to admit that there's something going on inside that you really need Jesus to help you with. And anybody use the app Waze in here? Anybody like Waze? No, you know, thank you for the 100 of you that participated. Who uses Waze? Who is theologically, morally, practically against it like I am? Like, I just like to do my own thing, right? Like, I know where I'm going. I can get there on my own. I've been that way before. Why do I need to look on, an app to figure out how to get to the other side of Atlanta? Except for, come on, can I get an amen? In Atlanta, there can be a four-hour traffic jam at any point of the day, no matter if it's 2 a.m. or 2 p.m. It ain't just rush hour around here. And the whole time I'm like stuck in traffic without an exit ramp. I'm like, if I would have just used Waze, if I would have just been humble enough to admit I needed help, it would have just rerouted me. I wouldn't have even thought twice about it. I would have gotten there peacefully, not angry, not, you know, on the verge of losing my salvation. Sorry, I'm talking too much about my driving in Atlanta traffic, but that's what Jesus is trying to say here. He's like, hey, I'm here. You're weary. You're tired. The pressure gets too heavy. You feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. Well, look to me. Listen to me. That's what he said. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Jesus, this is good news. He didn't come with an iron fist. He came with arms spread out. He said, I'm humble. I'm here to serve. Hundreds of years before this, God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah in verse 16 of chapter 6. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will, this is back to what we've been reading, and you will find rest for your souls. And then this is heartbreaking, but it describes the way most of us live every single day. But you said, we will not walk in it. We're going to do our own thing. We're going to go our own way. We're going to handle the pressure of life on our own. And the whole time, God's saying, I want to help you. I want to lead you. Just posture yourself to receive from me, to learn from me. And it's available to every single person. Babe, yep. I talked too long. I'm sorry. Your turn.
So the next line is, and I will give you rest. And then even later in the verse, it talks about finding rest for our souls. The first part where he says, I will give you rest. The fact that it's a gift. It's not anything that we have to earn. And it's a promise. He says, I will give you rest.
Yeah.
Not I might give you rest, or I probably would if you had your act together. He says, I will. So we were thinking about this. We were talking about a party that we had gone to. It was Caleb's first party that he got invited to for a one-year-old. So we went, and when we were leaving, three different hosts just kind of came out of the woodwork and just started stuffing all of this stuff in my bag. I think at the end of it, there were like 14 different presents for Caleb from the family that was hosting the party.
And a few adult gifts as well.
And a few adult gifts, yes.
Not to be named from the stage in the church, but anyway.
So they were stuffing things in our bag, and we walked away, and I was just thinking, this is such a picture of Jesus. Like, we come to him, and we always end up leaving with more than we came with.
Yeah.
And the rest is just one of the things that he wants to stuff in our bag when we come to him. But there are so many other things: peace, patience, kindness, goodness, love, joy. And that's just one of the things that he is promising we're getting when we come to him. And then thinking about rest, college students, you might be able to empathize with this, but I love sleep. So I think when I think of rest, I think of sleep immediately, and that I don't get enough of it now that we're parents. But Brad would have said that was my spiritual gift back in the heyday before we had kids. If I get less than 7 hours of sleep, you do not want to know me. That's true.
And amen. No, I didn't say that. Sorry. Keep going.
Good thing I know you're kidding.
Yeah.
And so when I think about rest, I immediately go to sleep. But what Jesus is saying here isn't that he's just giving us sleep. He's saying that he wants to give us refueling and refilling.
Yeah.
So our circumstances that we're walking through, while they may be heavy or burdened, they're not going away necessarily, but he's saying, I want to give you a refreshing ease through that.
Yeah.
I want that to define your life. And when you think that God created us and he knows what we need more than we know what we need, he's saying, I'm giving you rest because he knows we need it, and he's committed to doing that for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. Tell everyone about just how you've managed that with what we've got going here and then working full-time and being a parent and how that's sorted out at your job?
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier that I have a career and, you know, we're building the church. It's a huge part of our life. We have family and marriage and just all the things that we've got to juggle, just like all of you have a ton of things that you're constantly working with and trying to manage. And so it can be a lot. And if I'm honest, thankfully God does provide that rest for us and knows that we need it, because if we were doing this on our own, we would have spun out of control a long time ago, yeah, for sure. And it what we've had to learn through that is we have to set aside time for rest, time to let God refill us and refuel us. And it seems so counterintuitive, because I'm a task person, so I see a to-do list, and I'm like, gotta knock it out. And the world wants to say, you know, if you have less time to do those things, then you just need to prepare to get less stuff done. And just like so many other things, the kingdom of God just flips That's that right. on its head and said, no, if you prioritize this time and you do rest and you let me refuel and refill you, what we have experienced is actually a miraculous growth in the capacity that we have for ministry and for family and the wisdom that we have in what we say yes to, and this understanding that He is carrying us. It is not on our shoulders.
Right.
It's nothing that we are doing in our own strength, and it really does make all of the difference.
Yeah, that's awesome, babe. It's really, really great.
It's true.
It's really cool. It's actually one of our Above and Beyond stories from a couple years ago, because as we approach Above and Beyond, just like you guys, we want to, you know, trust God with our entire lives, but also we want to give of what He's given us to help advance the cause of the gospel. And you know, there's always a return, sometimes financial, but always in more of Jesus and more of His significance and His purpose. And so we were really stretched thin, really spread out. And so Brittany, after serving faithfully at her company and supporting the cause of that corporate organization, she just went in and she talked to her bosses, who honestly didn't have any clue about what we were doing, what was happening at Passion City Church, what we were carrying. And she just said, I want to come underneath the leadership of our organization, and I want to continue to use my gifts to help where we're going, but I also am really committed at our church and want to prioritize that. We just need more margin. And she's like, I'll take less if I can have more flexibility and make less. And that was a sacrifice for us. But what's been really cool for her is her company and her bosses have poured more favor on her since she's started taking on less, because they've seen the values and the character with which she stands for. And it's been really, really amazing that God does, in different forms or fashion, give us rest, because He knows that we need it.
Yeah. I want to say one
you
thing,
sure
too,
can.
Just about balance. Something that I think that work-life balance and just balance as a whole is something that you hear a lot about right now. Yeah. And what we have had to embrace and what we are learning is that we are never going to have balance, that balance really isn't what we want to strive for as a family. Having this allotted time for work and family and church, we really want to leverage our entire life for the glory of God and for advancing His kingdom. And so the ways that we have prioritized that and then seen God come around on the other side and still allow us to do, like, my job, I love what I do. So for Him to still allow me to do that, but still be able to prioritize what we want to do with our marriage and our family has been amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really not balance, but it's health. It's health that God wants for all of us. And that's part of why we're taking a Sabbath break as a church. And that's why we're taking a whole Sunday to talk to you about where are your Sabbath moments? Because you need to be refueled. And that's this last part of this passage. It says, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And if you're paying attention, that seems like an oxymoron that doesn't fit. My burden, my weight, but it's light. And so that's more than talking about the kind of dumbbells that I typically lift, lightweights. But it's what happens. You can laugh at that if you want. I don't do CrossFit like the professional David Chanley. It's okay. What is happening there is we have been offered by Jesus this opportunity, and our pastor talks about this a lot, to live life connected to Him. There is a yoke involved. There is work involved. There is a way of life, and that's what the prophet Jeremiah was saying. Walk in that way because it's the best for you. It will lead to more and not less. It'll lead to fullness and not emptiness. It'll lead to joy and not regret. But yes, there is certain ways that we should live as Jesus people. But when we walk in a yoke connected to Jesus, we'll feel that refreshing ease come over us. Mm-hmm. And it will feel lighter and lighter because it's not, what we're doing is we're transferring the weight. The weight that you keep on your shoulders, that you were never meant to carry, your shoulders weren't designed for that kind of load, you transfer that. Instead of doing it your own way, you transfer the weight of your life onto Jesus because he's strong enough and he's able not just to carry the world, he can carry you. And that's when it's the lightweight. Here's the last picture of this, and then we'll kind of come to a close. We live, so our drinking cups, this could go terribly wrong, but you know, we live life with about a half empty, half full cup. We've got a lot going on. And so we just kind of pour ourselves out here and there, different responsibilities, different expectations. Like, man, I am running low. Maybe I should just try to read a book or see some people or get a day off, go on a vacation, get a little bit more. And then you're like, well, here we go again. Just pouring myself out. And then it just pour, and then it's empty. I'm nervous because this went really bad at the 9:30. So
there was a waterfall coming off our table at 9:30.
then we're empty. When it's just, we got to figure out how to get it full again. And the whole time she's like, no, take my yoke. Stay connected to me. Walk with me. Yes, you're going to work. We were made to work. We were made to contribute. We are made to give our lives to different things in this world and to steward this planet that we have been put on. We're meant to find satisfaction in our work, but God wants us to be healthy. And so a better option, and this is a correction from the 9:30 because of how bad it went, and it was overflowing and it just went crazy. Here's a better option for you is, thank you, babe. Mm-hmm. Instead of just pouring ourselves out to empty, is to remember that we have a source. And it says, Jesus said, come to me. I'm living water. And we stay connected to him in his yoke. And then eventually, what we give to the world is the overflow of what Jesus is doing in our heart. That's the opportunity. That's the way we've been invited to live. The only problem with this illustration, other than the fact that my boots just got wet, is really, Jesus' supply is never going to run out. He's always going to be enough for us. So we've got an even better source, right? And here we go. No? Yes? No? We don't know each other? This is how Jesus wants us to live. And we stay connected to him, and then we're never running out of our supply. We're always overflowing. We always have something to offer because Jesus is carrying us. He's leading us. He's using us in all the different ways of the world. Isn't that awesome?
It's great. I love it.
And that's what Sabbath is all about. It's a gift from God for us because he knows we need to be refueled. He knows on our own we'll burn out. He knows we can't carry all of this life in our own effort, our own power, our own authority. You know, it's crazy. Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. Keep the Sabbath holy. If you really think about that, you're like, is keeping the Sabbath the same weight as don't murder or don't commit adultery? Apparently, it was pretty important to God that we posture ourselves in a place to receive rest from him. So as we close, babe, why don't you just talk a little bit about practically how that's looked for our lives?
Well, for us, it's ebbed and flowed in the different seasons that we've been in. But when we first got married, we only had Saturdays together because Sundays were full days and we were working the rest of the week. So we decided early that we were going to block out the first half of Saturday. And it was basically no one could schedule anything on it. It was always protected. Every now and then something would come up that we couldn't say no to, but for the most part, 99% of the time we said no, and we just protected that time so that we could stop, rest, and remember, just like Pastor Louis was saying in the video, and you've heard those words before, so stopping for us was really just shutting it down and turning off our social media, staying away from our phones and our emails, trying to dial down the voice and the noise of the world and really just dial into looking up and listening to God and spending time together, resting, doing things that bring us joy and life and just help us stay connected as husband and wife, and then remembering all of the ways that God has been so faithful to us. And it'll blow your mind when you start to think about it. And that is what wells up the faith in you. That is that's one of the ways I'm convinced that he just continues to refuel and refill you, is reminding you of what he's already done.
Yeah.
And you know he's gotten you to this point, so how in the world could you think he's going to leave you there?
Yeah.
And of course he's going to carry you into the next season. So you can stop and you can rest, but it's really the remembering for us that has helped protect those times, keeping them sacred and making them special and refueling us and refilling us.
And that's the point of today. As we close, there's one practical takeaway. It's find a rhythm of rest and keep that rhythm, because God knows you need it, and deep down you know you need it. And for us as Passion City, that's why we're taking 2 weeks off, because we want to, one, model for our whole church corporately what we hope becomes a priority for you individually and a habit for your life. It's just like generosity. We have given a lot of money as a church to help plant other churches or be the first people to give seed what they're doing in different parts of the country, different organizations around the world. We want to be a really generous church collectively, but we also want that to be a habit for all of us as individuals. Same thing for Sabbath. We're okay. It's crazy, you know? Church, we don't know any other church that does it. Some of you are like, man, is that like, you know, really legal to take 2 Sundays off as a church? Like, can you do it? The others of you are like, sweet, I don't have to feel guilty when I don't show up the next couple weeks. But it's for us, you know, some other churches are like, I can't do it because we can't do it as a church, because if the giving doesn't come in those couple weeks, then we're sunk. And thankfully, by the grace of God, we're not in that position. But also, actually, during the Sabbath break, our giving goes up because people keep giving when we say as a whole, hey, we're going to stop as a community and remember who's carrying us, who's in charge, who we're counting on, who's leading the way, and we're going to be okay to be still. That's what the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. So that's what we're doing collectively. And then we're also doing that because of our amazing people that make Sundays run, both at Cumberland and here at 515, because it's not just a few people on stage. That's what this whole series has been about. It's about our amazing door holders. And you might show up every couple weeks, but there's door holders here before we get here and after we leave every single week. You're like, man, I saw them in the parking lot last week. Do they not have anything better to do? No, they have lots to do. But our door holders just keep showing up and keep opening the door, so you can walk in, not just the physical door, but just opening up their lives so you can experience what Jesus has for you. And so this Sabbath break is a way of us telling our door holders, we love you, we're grateful for you, God doesn't want you to burn out, we don't want you to burn out, and so here's just a small gift for you. And if we're gonna tell you one thing these next couple weeks, is to start a rhythm and keep the rhythm. And like we've said, it looks different in every season. Ours has shifted from trying to get breakfast in by noon on Saturdays, you know. I was always up at 6 a.m. doing my quiet time, but Brittany would sleep a little bit longer. Kidding about that. It was a miracle if either of us were up and moving too early on Saturday mornings. Don't judge us. But it's shifted to Fridays. We make that time sacred. We plan it, and we protect it. And where is that moment for you? Where is that moment for you and a few friends? For you and your family? Because as you prioritize a rhythm of rest, one, you'll remind God and you'll tell God and you'll remind yourself, I'm not in control. I can't do this on my own. I need your help. God, I'm gonna consistently come to you and ask you to fill me up, because the alternative is worn out, exhausted, empty, stressed, over it. And when the people around us, if that's what they're getting, then it's just going to be a breakdown all over the place. So find a rhythm and keep the rhythm. Ultimately, Sabbath is a shadow. That's what it says in Colossians chapter 2. That's the word of God. Paul says, Sabbath and the festivals, they're a shadow of things to come. So way back, thousands of years before Jesus walked on the earth, God put this thing called Sabbath in place as a foreshadow of what he was going to bring to his people, that was going to be that's going to come true through Jesus Christ. And that's the shadow, that's the Sabbath that we find for our souls, the ultimate rest we find for our souls when we step off of earth and into heaven, when there will be no more crying, no more pain, no more shame, no more war, no more division, no more hurting, no more cancer, no more defeat. That's what we have coming for us. Isn't that amazing? That when God scripted the whole thing, when he put it all into place, and he just said, I'm gonna start building a rhythm into my people so they'll know an ultimate rest is coming. And they're like, oh, this is why we had to keep the Sabbath holy. This is why it was so important, because you were trying to tell us, our hearts and our heads and our souls, that there was something better promised to your people through faith in Jesus. And that's called heaven. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate rest. And that's your ultimate need. That's my ultimate need. That's what Sabbath ultimately is all about. So today, we're gonna start our church's Sabbath, because church is meant to be a family and a community. We're gonna start it by observing, celebrating communion together. We try to do it every quarter or so, but it's a celebration of the church to remember the finished work of Jesus. And for you, the response is simply to remember. All through Scripture, God reminds us to remember. Remember who I am. Remember what I've done. Remember how I've parted the Red Seas. Remember how I've led you the whole way. Remember how I've never left you or forsaken you or bailed out on you. Remember how I've never turned my back on you. Remember that I gave you life and breath and everything in it. Remember how everything that you have is a gift for me. Remember, remember, remember.